Wrapping up the day in cricket, this is ABC Grandstand at Stumps.
The ebb and flow of Test cricket with the spicy mix of the pink ball and the day-night, and how delicately poised is this? England 4 for 176 at Stumps, needing a further 178 runs to win. We spoke at the start of the day, was there a scenario in which England could either get out of it or win it? And Chris Rogers, by tonight, there clearly is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a number of judges, myself included, who thought England had no chance. Just, I thought the ball would perhaps do a little bit more on this pitch, but it seemed like pretty decent batting conditions. And England fought hard, and credit to them. They've given themselves still an outside sniff for the victory tomorrow, but they're a chance. And who would have thought that when they were dismissed in their first innings?
So there's hope for England and admiration for their work, and we will go through that. But Simon Kadich, that's a bit of a ragged day from Australia on a few fronts.
Yeah, I think it definitely was from a batting point of view. I think they knew they needed to have that new ball under lights tonight, but they didn't make the most of it with the bat. They probably were a bit too attacking, I think. And as a result, England got the best chance to set this innings up by batting in the daylight in the middle session with the new ball rather than at night. And they've made the most of it. While Joe Root's at the crease, England are a big chance to win this test. He looks determined, just like Steve Smith was in Brisbane, to level the series here. And if he can get 140, England probably win this test.
354 was a hugely unlikely target historically and within the context of this game, but it feels a little less so right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Joe Root's the key, as Simon said. I wonder how important that last wicket that England lost in David Milan, how important that's going to be tomorrow, because if they'd been able to go in three down, keep their normal batting order, you just never know. I just think that wicket has swayed it back Australia's way.
I think it's a good move from England to bring Chris Wokes in, because the ball still, England has still probably got about 16 overs or so till the second new ball, so they still need to score in this period, because it's going to be the best time to score with the softer ball. If they'd sent in a traditional night watchman, someone like Jimmy Anderson or something like that, you could waste that period, and it's going to be crucial. Joe Root likes to score, so it's important there's someone down the other end that's busy, and Wokes batted well in the first innings, so it could be a good tactical move on their behalf.
Pat Cummins showed himself to be the strike bowler again with that late wicket. It's 10 minutes from stumps when Australia had toiled away for a couple of hours without any joy, and then textbook, he hits the very top of the off stump.
Look, he looked like he was fired up there. There was one that, I think it was a boundary bowl, with about 147 clicks. So there's no doubt the Australians rest up overnight. They'll have a think about things. They know they've got the second new cherry coming around soon. So that's something they'll have to use to their advantage. And I think Nathan Lyon's still got a big role to play tomorrow.
Yeah, but they'll be really disappointed today. They've let England off the hook. Their decision to bat on, I mean, it might be the wrong one. You just never know now, do you? We all thought that it was the right decision at the time, but the way they went about their batting in very tough conditions, albeit, has let them down. You know, that they particularly this morning, and then probably just didn't. Well, did they get it right with the ball, or was it just better batting conditions?
I think England were definitely in a better frame of mind this innings. They knew what they had to get. They were a lot more disciplined, but I think, for me, Australia's batting in the first probably couple of hours, that was disappointing, because Sean Marsh is in good form. He ended up getting stuck with the tail, and I just think there was no need for them to bat that attacking them.
So let's start in the Australian camp with the bowling coach, David Saker. David, welcome to Grandstand at Stumps.
Thank you.
What do you make of the position right now?
We've got a hell of a game on our hands, haven't we? Yeah, it's obviously turned quite quickly, but the game's probably, we're still probably in the ascendancy, but it's, you know, Joe's innings was pretty special tonight, and, you know, if we go bang-bang in the morning again, we're well on top, but it's been a hard-fought game.
Do you have any sense that you missed the chance to go for the kill when it was there?
Could have, probably, obviously referring to last night, maybe when we could have enforced the follow-on. Again, we haven't bowled under lights with a new ball, which, obviously, in games like this, you have to think a bit more tactically, and maybe we got that one wrong.
Do you get a say in that decision's taken?
Oh, there was a little bit of conversation going back and forth, but really it's up to the captain and the players out in the middle and getting the feel of the game. You know, and it's easy in hindsight. And whether we would have exploited the conditions the way their bowlers did, I'm not sure. They're probably specialists in those sort of conditions, and our guys are probably not as adept to bowling in those sort of conditions.
So what was the actual reason not to enforce the follow-on?
I haven't really sat down and talked to Stephen yet, but he obviously thought the bowlers needed a little bit of a rest, getting some more overs into the opposition as well from five-game series, so things like that would have been going through his mind.
Sakes, what did you make of the batting? Was it a little bit disappointing, or was it just really tough conditions?
I think it was a bit of both. I thought they bowled particularly well, but you know, again, we got exploited by the ball moving, and some of our methods weren't perfect. But again, they put the ball in the right area for long periods of time, which made it quite difficult. This morning, you know, again, we could have probably been made a bit better go of it, and you know, another 30 or 40 more runs would have made it quite comfortable, but that's game on.
What was the plan today? Was it more time or was it runs?
Oh, no, we wanted to be quite proactive and get some more runs. Obviously, time as well, but I think the bowlers just didn't let us get to where we wanted, and the wicket wasn't easy to score. When you do bowl the ball in the right area out there, you do find it hard to score, and both sides have done that. When you're bowling a bit too short or you're bowling full, you get opportunities, but if you're putting the ball in the right area, I think it's been really tough to score.
Last night aside, obviously it was hard work for the batsman last night with a new ball, but today with the sun out and with an older ball, was there talk about trying to bat through the second session so that you had a new ball for the night session tonight?
Yeah, that would have been ideal. We would have liked to bat till probably an hour after lunch especially, but that wasn't to be. So again, we'd lose the opportunity to bowl with a newer ball under lights, which is pretty handy in these conditions. But as I said, I think we got the ball shifting a little bit late today. If that's still the case in the morning, two early wickets and we're well on top.
What about Pat Cummins? His efforts have been incredible, haven't they? And that wicket, how important was that wicket at the end there today?
Oh, that's a huge wicket for the team, but you know, he really deserved it. He's probably been our best bowler in this game, and that was really, you know, he's, other than Nathan, the best fast bowler, and he was, you know, today he was fantastic, and to get that reward at the end, one for the team, really good reward for us, but for him in particular, he really challenged the batsman time and time again, so I was really happy for him. And again, tomorrow he's going to be a really important player for us.
How'd they go with the DRS, do you think? Australia.
Well, it's pretty clear we got it wrong, isn't it? Again, there's a few new rules about it, and I think we probably didn't get it right. Obviously, we're missing two or three, but again, that's the game. That's the tactics of the game, the new game. So, but for sure, we didn't get it right.
Do you feel like it's going to be a nervy day tomorrow?
Yeah, very nervy from where I'm sitting. I think it's easier being a player in those situations, but it's going to be a great game. It's been set up for a... You know, it's always great series, Ashes series, but this has been set up for a fantastic game of cricket.
Good on you, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Saker with us from the Australian camp, the bowling coach there. They've taken four wickets. There's six more to take. 176 on the board for England and 178 to go. It shouldn't be a thriller. It shouldn't be a nervy game. And I wonder what sort of role that plays. Does that give England some sort of freedom, and does it tie Australia up? As the mentality, I think, of tomorrow is really interesting once everyone's had a chance to sleep on events.
Yeah, you'd imagine Australia will come out and they're going to throw everything at England. If England can get through the initial bit, they can have these two batsmen batting at the second new ball, have some luck. You know, a few things go their way, which they did, I reckon, tonight, didn't they? A few French cuts, you know, a bit of luck here and there. You just never know. You can dare to dream, can't you?
You could sense there was a little bit of pressure going back onto the Australians, particularly when the catch went down off Milan, when Smith put him down off Nathan Lyon, and just the body language of the Australians. You could tell there's some nerves going around because they weren't expecting this scenario. And now all of a sudden they're in this scenario. They've got to find a way to get out of it. I think they will, because the game's still in their favour, but Joe Root is a massive problem for them because he looks determined to have a big score and win England this Test match.
The phases of the day were really interesting, as that's not the way Australia typically bats when it doesn't enforce the follow-on. And even the rationale around sort of the pushing for runs is usually Australia methodically bats the opposition 6 feet under. And they simply didn't do that in the way that they... I felt they were without purpose.
Yeah, and sometimes I think when you're that far ahead of the game, that third innings just becomes a bit of a walk in the park, you know. You just have to get through a a little spell, and then, you know, you get easy runs, almost free batting time, isn't it? But the conditions last night invigorated England. You could see, I mean, what did Jimmy Anderson bowl? An 11-over spell. And he was inspired. It got them back in the game. And then they had a sniff today with Australia 4 down overnight and thought, you know, we could do some damage here. And they did. I mean, I bet my house that Australia would get past 111. That was a bit of an interesting score. But they only just did. Oh, I just thought, you know, they'll get 200, whatever, and put England back in and it'll be game over.
I think tactically that was an error for them to be looking for quick runs or to keep the game moving forward, because I think it was more about the timing of the innings. And they should have realised that from last night, seeing what they went through. If they could replicate that to England tonight, this test, we wouldn't have been talking about England being in with the chance, because they would have only had 4 sessions to bat. There would have been a huge target for them, 400 plus probably, and Australia probably would have had 4 wickets tonight. So I'm just really surprised at the way the batsmen went about it, because quite a few of them threw their wickets away, and we spoke about it on air. I mean, Tim Payne got out again playing a pull shot when there was just no need for it, really.
It actually, for some reason, takes me back to that first test last year against South Africa when Dale Steyn went down, and the Australian batsmen got into a defensive mindset where they thought, if we just tie the bowlers out, you know, we'll pick them off. But they got knocked over, remember? And I wonder if the Australian coaching staff just think, we don't really want our batsmen being in that kind of defensive mindset. We want to allow them to go out and express themselves, have good intent, all those cliches. So, I'm with you, Simon, whether they should have sat down at the beginning of the day and said, all right, we're just going to worry about time, get through to a certain... But that could be dangerous. Well, that could backfire. You just never know.
You pointed this out as the wickets were falling, Simon, and this is the beauty, this is the peculiarity of the pink ball test, is Australia had condemned itself to a point where it wouldn't get to bowl with the new ball under lights. So first they forfeited the chance to do that when they didn't enforce the follow-on, and then they batted in a manner that the new ball was 30 overs old by the time the night session came around, and they won't get it tomorrow, as the new ball will come in the first session in the daylight hours, and then the best batting has always been in the middle session. So it's going to be an old ball by the end.
And the thing is, it's not just about Australia. It's about the confidence it's given England. So the England batting lineup all of a sudden know that scenario is presented to them, and they go in with a lot more confidence and can play differently, because all of a sudden their mindset's a lot more positive than it would have been if we're like, oh, we're going to go out and face a new ball under lights. So it was a double whammy for Australia.
We're going to have Jimmy Anderson join us shortly. He took 5 wickets for the first time on Australian soil. What he did last night was splendid, and then he backed that up today and he got his just desserts. He had an eventful time with a court and bowled where he ended up ripping his pants and grabbing at his hamstring, but it's a broad smile. He's bowled England back into the match. Simon Mann from the BBC.
Well, Jimmy, assess the state of the game with one day to go.
Well, it's pretty even, I think. You know, we've definitely taken this position after the first two or three days. You know, we've fought really hard to get back in the game. I thought, following on from last night's bowling performance, today we were really good as a group. And then we fought really hard with the bat. You know, we spoke about not doing ourselves justice in the first innings with the bat, and today we've come out and shown people what we can do. And obviously, we're still a good amount of runs short of this total, but we're in a fantastic position. We've still got batters left in the sheds to be, hopefully get us somewhere close tomorrow.
What's it been like in that dressing room the last couple of hours?
I'd like to say cool and calm, but I've been pacing all around the Adelaide Oval, to be honest. I've been underground, up to the viewing area, just trying to get comfortable. It is tricky when, obviously, I think in situations like this, the best place to be is out in the middle, where you're in control. And Joe showed it. He's got a cool, calm head on him, and David did a fantastic job with him as well. Hopefully tomorrow we can build some partnerships and get somewhere near.
When you came out this morning, would you have accepted 138 all out?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, generally on a pitch that's not doing a huge amount, we knew it wasn't going to swing as much as it did last night, but there's still something there in the wicket, a little bit of seam movement. and we knew it was going to be difficult. We knew that they were going to show some resistance, but we just stuck at our guns and we bowled really well. We put lots of balls in the right area, asked a lot of questions of their technique, and I think we deserved to bowl them out for 140.
How much does it mean to you to get your first fifer in Australia?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm not sure I'd done it without the pink ball, so I've got a lot to thank the pink ball for. And the
floodlights.
And the floodlights. But yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's somewhere that I've had some success on certain tours and then, you know, struggled other times. So it's nice to finally get a five-wicket haul in somewhere that's not necessarily suited to my bowling.
And Chris Wokes gave you support as well. You needed that.
Yeah, I think all the bowlers did fantastically well. Brody, he could have had five for on another day. He bowled brilliantly last night, beat the bat a lot. Same again today, created pressure from the other end and allowed me to attack from my end. So those sort of partnerships are really key. And obviously, Brody's not got a wicket this innings, but he certainly deserved a few. And then we were backed brilliantly by Chris Wokes.
Do you know that no England team has ever chased as many as 354 to win a Test match before?
I do now. it was always going to be... We knew we were going to have to chase a big total after the first innings deficit. And it was, you know, it was always going to be a big ask from us. But we know that this pitch is still a good one to bat on. If you can get in, you can score runs. And it's just a case of trying to build partnerships, being really ruthless when batsmen get in. And hopefully we can get somewhere near.
Who's the biggest threat tomorrow, do you think, from Australia?
It's hard to pick one out of those four because they're a really good bowling attack. Obviously, you'd expect Nathan Lyon to be a threat on the fifth day of a Test match. But to be honest, the three quicks have done a great job this series so far. So you can't pinpoint one threat. We've just got to play well against all of them.
And just one final point. Have you thought about the possibility of you going out at number 11 with 10 runs to win?
I had a feeling you were going to say that. And I've not tried to think about it. If we need 10, 15, then I don't mind giving that a go. But any more than that, then I think we're struggling.
Well, good luck tomorrow. It's been a riveting day's cricket here at the Adelaide Oval today. Thanks very much, Jimmy.
Cheers, thank you.
Simon Mann there with Jimmy Anderson, who stands. He's got the graze on his knee from where he tried to take the court and bowled, and that sort of encapsulates the wholehearted effort that he put into it.
When he said he was pacing around the rooms in the stadium, I wanted to desperately ask him if he, with 15 minutes to go, if he went missing in an action in the toilets or something like that, because I'm sure he would have known that he might have got the tap on the shoulder for the night watchman duties.
Well, I was trying to angle in there. I wanted to ask a question. I wanted to know which change room would you rather be in at the moment. So just it's a good game coming here, and there's a lot of feeling. There's been a lot of sledging out there as well. So there's a little bit of bad blood. So it's going to mean a lot tomorrow, isn't it?
It will indeed. What does it mean for his reputation in Australia to finally have that 5-wicket haul?
It's a big one. I mean, it's one of the criticisms that's levelled at him, isn't it, that he doesn't perform anywhere near as well away from home as he does in England. Admittedly, these are the conditions that almost England like, but he still went and he bowled well, but he showed people exactly why he is possibly the best in these kind of conditions, because he just swung them so much, didn't he? And he swung and he seen them. They were going around corners.
To be fair to him, he's been quite modest there. He had a pretty good tour here in 2010 when England won the Ashes 3-1, and he played a big part in that, along with Stuart Broad and the rest of the attack, Graham Swan. But, yes, he's had his tough times in previous tours, I think in 06, and then the last time out here. So, this was tailor-made for him, and, you know, he's got the right result.
England 4 for 176 at stumps. On day four, Australia was bedevilled by the DRS, pulling the wrong rein repeatedly. This was how some of it unfolded.
Moves into court.
Puts it on the Vanderbilt for LBW. How is that, sir? Not out. Will they refer this? Was that going over? Was that going down? Chris Gaffney wasn't convinced. And now the chat goes on. They've got to be quick. They can't waste time here. Are we going to refer this or not?
I don't think so.
No, he's not.
That's
pretty close to the line of the left. It would have been out.
Last ball of Lyon's over. Two Roots, who's back, struck out. Straight away, Alim Dar, no hesitation. Same from Joe Root, no hesitation in reviewing. Any part of the ball at the top of the bales.
Oh, he's a long way back.
Oh! No, it's missing.
Hazelwood bowls, hits him on the pad. Field for leg before wicket. What's Mr. Dar going to do? He's saying not out. And Hazelwood's got his hands on his hips. He was on the back foot, which suggests it was short, which suggests the ball would probably have gone over the stumps. There's discussion between... Oh, he's reviewing this. Smith might burn off both reviews. Over the top. Over the top. About as narrow as Anderson's were this time yesterday. So Australia have lost both their reviews.
Root is playing back. He didn't offer. We've seen that before. Alim Dar keeps his finger down this time. And Lyon has left genuflecting on the pitch with no joy. And again, the Barbies mock Australia mercilessly with the signal for the DRS.
You can't help but really enjoy what the Barbie Abbey are up to there. But
it was one of the great features of the night, is over on the hill, every time Australia appealed and the Barbies are all there making the tea, there are no reviews left.
No, that second one was suicide, wasn't it? We saw it, we thought, even live, just thought that that's going over the top. And that's how it's been going all test. We've seen a number of the reviews going over. So why he took the option there is curious.
Pressure, and I guess at that stage they were desperate for a wicket, but it's something they'll probably have a meeting about moving forward, because going into the last day now with none left, I'm sure the Barmy Army are going to be saluting a few more times doing that.
Yeah, well, the blood was going, wasn't it? Because what was it, 2 in 3 balls or something like that?
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the first one they missed before the dinner break, and I'm sure they're reiterating that if it's umpire's call, you keep your challenge. And Smith was looking for the top of the bales, which is optimistic anyway, but you could tell when it came back as no, as he mouthed top of the bales.
But did you hear... Well, you obviously heard what David Saker said at the change in rules. I wonder if Steve just didn't quite understand that rule,
or just didn't in the moment.
And you've
got 6 seconds in those not to think it through the first time, and then it.
And I'm going to be honest,
the second time
I didn't even realise it.
So it's the new convention in what's going on. Yes, what an environment this is going to be tomorrow. It's gold coin entry. Is part of me thinks like you could end up with something near a full house. This is a day of Test cricket that you just don't want to miss.
I'd like to think it's a full house tomorrow. I think this is going to be a really special test match. So let's hope that people flock to the Adelaide Oval and have a great day of test cricket.
Well, if England somehow can get a 50-run stand here with this first pair, oh, game on, isn't it?
It's a record-setting test. It eclipses the old body line test here. The crowd so far, 179,049 in gold coin entry. If you are in Adelaide, you want to be part of this tomorrow. England resumes at 4 for 176, 178 to win. It could only be more perfect if they'd got one more run and it was the dead even split. We will be here on air at 1:30 or thereabouts Adelaide time, and the first ball at 2. Join us. This was today.
Up he comes from the far end and he bowls. Oh, he stepped away and smeared this to mid-off. It's going to be caught. Broad takes the catch and Lyon's cameo is over. Had just about everything in that innings. He's out for 14. Anderson comes in, bowls to him. Oh, he's caught, is he? What a brilliant catch. What a brilliant catch at third slip. It all happened so fast, and Hans comes out for 12.
Jimmy Anderson looks transformed, doesn't he?
So it's terrific cricket, it really is.
Wokes goes in and bowls again, and it's pulled away by Payne. Top edge to backward square, will it go to hand? It will, and he's caught. Brilliantly caught in the deep by Overton. Payne out for 11.
And then goes Wokes, skipping in, bowls, flies, bowled it! Marsh trying to clip that away into the leg side. Another wicket for Wokes, who's taken 4 for 31.
Anderson in the bowl of Stark. Stark's miscued. It could be caught by Anderson, who almost got to the court and bowled. Anderson may have done a bit of damage to himself here. Here comes Anderson to bowl, and he swings at this. He's hit it up in the air down to long off. It should be caught. He's out. He's held out to Moen Ali. Stark's out, having a lash. Anderson gets 5. First time in Australia. He's taken 5 in an innings.
Overton bowls to him. He fends it up and is caught in the gully. Overton gets the last wicket. Australia bowled out for 138. Hazelwood goes for three. And England requires 354 for an improbable come-from-behind victory.
Well, puts it on the pad to field for LBW. How is that, sir? Not out. Will they refer this?
I don't think so.
No, he's not. That's pretty close to the line of the leg.
Have
they missed a trick, Australia? It would have been out. It's hitting flush on the leg stump. Stark comes up and pitches up to Stoneman, who plays it beautifully through the onside. Pitches up again. Another four through the onside. Line around the wicket, and he's swept, and it's going off the edge in the air. He's caught. No, he's not. One run to Stoneman. Line. Yes! And he's hit him on the pad and appeal for LBW. How is that? A very confident shout. No, not out. Will they review this one? Smith's looking at line. Will I? Won't I?
Yes.
He's reviewing. Going to say, hitting the leg stump. Flush. That is out. Line dismisses Cook for 16 and England lose their first wicket at 53.
Then goes Stark. Bowls and steered into the gully and caught. That's a tame dismissal, I'm afraid. And Stoneman's out for 36. Khawaja took it easily.
Stark goes into Vince. Vince drives and is caught. Caught and slipped. He drove at that. Stark claims Vince for 15. It's 3 for 91.
Last ball of Lyons over. Two roots. Who's back? Struck out. Straight away, Alimdar. No hesitation. Same from Joe Root. No hesitation in reviewing. Any it's part going. Of the ball at the top of the bales.
Oh, he's a long way back.
Oh, no, it's missing. Joe Root will breathe a big sigh of relief there.
Hazelwood bowls, hits him on the pad. Appeal for leg before wicket. What's Mr. Dar going to do? He's saying not out. Oh, he's reviewing this. Over the top. So Australia have lost both their reviews.
Hazelwood runs in again and bowls to Root. Root plays another clinking shot to the boundary. Wowee, two in a row.
Here he comes. Oh, catch it, he shouts. And very good piece of fielding by Smith. Go. Oh, he dropped it. He dropped it. It all happened so fast. But that was a terrific effort. He's really beating himself up. That would have been amazing. Four to Root, and that's his half century, and he'll feel better for that.
Milan is facing up with two slips in place. He's reaching for a wide one, and he's punishing Stark through backward point for four. Root is playing back. He didn't offer. We've seen that before. Alimdar keeps his finger down, and again, the Barmies mock Australia mercilessly with the signal for the DRS.
You can't help but really enjoy what the Barbie Abbey are up to there.
Cummins goes around the wicket. Milan is bowled! Bowled in! Cummins has burst through Milan's defence. I don't think that's the Barbie Army carrying on. That's the Aussies in the crowd. A huge wicket for Australia. Milan out for 29. Bowled by Cummins. The zing bells going all over the place. It hit the top of the off stump, and that's the breakthrough Australia have been striving for more than an hour. England 4 for 176, need 178 tomorrow.
Grandstand Cricket on ABC Radio and on Grandstand Digital. ABC Grandstand.
His little drop kick shot away towards the boundary, four runs.
Hi, this is Steve Smith. You're listening to ABC Grandstand at Stumps.
Have you voted yet for the ABC Sports Personality of the Year or your team of 2017? It's easy. Head to aisawards.abc.net.au. The winners will be revealed at the AIS Sports Performance Awards on December the 12th, with Grandstand's Year in Review Weekend part of the build-up on December 9 and 10. Get voting and be part of Grandstand's Year in Review.
Cricket is on your radio.
On your radio
with ABC Grandstand.
ABC.